Good afternoon and welcome to the podcast of the Load Seaters for Tuesday, the 15th of December, 2020. I'm joined by Callum, and today we're going to be talking about how Joe Biden has kicked Black Lives Matter to the curb, how Priti Patel is kicking Channel migrants back to France, and how hate speech laws in Venezuela are being used as a tool of political persecution, like we told you they would be. I guess we'll start directly with Black Lives Matter. Oh, by the way, before I go on, actually, we're streaming to lots of other platforms today. We've managed to work out multi-streaming here because we're way ahead of the curve. So we are on Twitch, Facebook, VK, and a few other platforms that I can't remember off the top of my head.
D-Live, but it's not working today.
We were meant to be on D-Live, but it wasn't working in time for the podcast. So yes, if you happen to not like YouTube and don't want to catch us here, you can either catch us on loadseaters.com or on one of these other platforms, and we'll be on others in the future. But anyway, let's get to it. Joe Biden has dumped Black Lives Matter. I love this. It's, again, just in the long line of things where I can just sit back and go, I told you so. I guess we can start with Joe Biden's plan to build back better by advancing racial equity across the American economy. Now, he's got a long list of things that he's going to do. All of these are, you know, obviously they come straight out of the black communities in America. These have been the top priorities on the list, such as strengthen the Federal Reserve's focus on racial economic gaps, clearly top of Black Lives Matter's concern, build a 21st century care infrastructure, address long-standing inequities in agriculture, all the sort of, these just common Black Lives Matter talking points. But what's not there, and very, very glaring omission, is defunding the police. That is not in there. And this is because Joe Biden has long opposed defunding the police. As the New York Post reported on June the 8th this year, Trump has, and this was in response to Trump saying, well, the Democrats want to defund the police because Black Lives Matter, a large portion of the Democrat party were chanting this as a mantra. And so Joe Biden had to come out and say, a spokesperson for Biden said, Biden does not believe that the police should be defunded. He hears and shares the deep grief and frustration of those calling out for change and is driven to ensure that justice is done and that we put a stop to this terrible pain. Biden supports the urgent need for reform and said funding should be made available everywhere so police departments can diversify to resemble the communities in which they serve. He also called for more funding for body cameras. So refund the police is in fact Joe Biden's position, the polar opposite of Black Lives Matter's demands. But Biden is not adverse to weaponizing Black Lives Matter when it's advantageous, as a Business Insider reported regarding the debate, the first debate between Biden and Trump. Biden just called Trump a racist when they argued about the Black Lives Matter protests and race relations during the first presidential debate. Biden said, "This is a president who has used everything as a dog whistle to try and generate racist hatred, racist division, and that Trump pours gasoline onto the fire to stoke his base over racial divisions. Also, if you don't vote for Biden, you ain't black, okay?" And this is not Biden's, I don't think this is really Biden's own initiative that's being used here. I mean, in the 9th of December, Obama was doing a sort of speaking tour and a, you know, celebrity tour promoting his new book. And he also said that defund the police slogan, that was a bad idea. He says, quote, "You lost a big audience the minute you say it. Snappy slogans may draw attention, but it makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes you want done. What I want to hear from..." So this was very upsetting to Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter co-founder Alicia Garza, a trained Marxist, said, "What I want to hear from the former President Barack Obama is that if he's going to use his vast platform for these conversations, what I want to hear from President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris is, what are you going to do? And that's what we haven't heard amid all this hoopla about defund the police." Wrong. We have exactly heard what Joe Biden's going to do. He's not going to defund the police. He's going to refund the police. And he even got Obama to come out and say, no, defunding the police is a stupid idea. Stop saying it. She carries on. "This movement, which really helped push Biden's campaign over the finish line, was was used as a political football throughout all throughout this election cycle, and it was true in 2016 as well. There's a lot of valuable airspace that was used to be condescending to the very people who have opened the imagination of what this country can be and how we can get closer to the promise that this country has offered for so many." I don't recall anything in the constitutional, the sort of discussion around the founding of the United States that says we won't have cops. So I don't really know what she's talking about there. I don't see why there's a promise of having no police in the country. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came out and said, well, hey, do you know what we want all the country to look like? A middle-class white suburb. It's like, okay, they have police. So I don't know what to tell you. But either way, this disconnect between... And one thing I find really funny about this is the idea we helped push this political... push Biden's campaign over the finishing line. Not according to the votes, you didn't. Like, according to the votes, it seems that Biden is just a kind of rocket when it comes for voters. I mean, Obama got 69 million votes and Biden got 81 million votes. Obama maybe was holding Biden back in 2008 and 2012. I mean, I'm sorry, just the numbers that we are obliged to accept because of YouTube's terms of service have stated that Biden is an absolute powerhouse electorally. And so don't give me any of this, we pushed this campaign across the finishing line. No, you didn't. You're a dead weight, clearly. Which is incidentally what we'll get to, because they clearly were a dead weight.
Didn't they make both of these statements about Black Lives Matter after the election as well?
Yes. But anyway, recently, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Black Lives Matter posted this to their social media pages. It has been 32 days since we've requested a meeting with Biden and Harris, and we've heard no response. Oh, really? The old white patriarch with a disdainful view of black people has ignored Black Lives Matter's hurt and trauma. When Biden and Harris met with several civil rights groups yesterday, we weren't invited. Oof.
So it's not even that they haven't had a meeting where they would expect to be invited. They had one and they didn't invite you on purpose.
Oh, yes. And with people who have, you know, vocalized on social media that they support Black Lives Matter, of course. But they're not actually interested in hearing from Black Lives Matter. Fox News reported on this. And the funniest thing about this was the Biden transition team did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So even Fox News is like, so why didn't you ask Black Lives Matter? And they're just like, nope. the same woman from Black Lives Matter has more input on this. For the newly elected administration that ran on promises of racial justice, to ignore our ongoing request to meet with them and refuse a seat at the table is demeaning to our movement, said Black Lives Matter Global Network. It is demeaning to our hurt and trauma. It is demeaning to the countless times we took to the streets to protest to the streets to call for justice for our black brothers and sisters taken from us at the hands of police. To set up a meeting with civil rights leaders without BLM is unacceptable. Well, it looks like you're just going to kind of have to accept it. Because this is the bed you got into. You made it, you laid down in it, and then Biden screwed you in it. Biden, in fact, revealed in this very meeting with the civil rights leaders that excluded Black Lives Matter why he excluded Black Lives Matter. And it's really funny. As Fox News report, this is leaked audio that I'm just going to quote from because I couldn't actually find the proper audio of it. But they give us a transcript. Biden says, I don't think we should get too far ahead of ourselves on dealing with police reform in that because they've already labeled us as being defund the police, anything we put forward in terms of organizational structure to police change policing, which I promise you will occur, I promise you, that's how they beat the living hell out of us across the country, saying that we were talking about defunding the police. We're not. We're talking about holding them accountable. We're talking about giving them money to do the right things. We're talking about putting more psychologists and psychiatrists on the telephones when the 9/11 calls through. We're talking about spending money to enable them to do their jobs better, not with more force, with less force and more understanding. Right. So Biden is crystal clear there. If it wasn't for his phenomenal personal popularity that seized the presidency in all other aspects, they got blown out across the country, and he thought it was because of the defund the police rhetoric. I think that's true. I think that's an accurate assessment. And also there was the Democrats in the flyover states who said, never use the word socialism again. So it seems that the radical left rhetoric that they engaged in was a massive detriment to them. And it seems that Biden and his team are well aware of this. And I think that this is the reason that Black Lives Matter have been unceremoniously dumped, just ghosted. We are not talking to you. We'll talk to all of these other ones. We're not talking to you. And as Joe Biden said, they beat the living hell out of us with defunding the police. And so this really is a message to Black Lives Matter. You get what you deserve. You knew that these people are not your friends. Kamala Harris is a cop. That is exactly the right way that the left is framing her, and I completely agree, and I openly oppose communist leftists, but they're right on this. Joe Biden is the man of the establishment. I mean, Di Dongsheng, a Chinese professor who is intricately bound with the Communist Party, openly said he is the establishment that has returned to the United States government. And so don't be surprised when Black Lives Matter gets the same treatment that Antifa is getting. As Andy Ngo reported on November the 5th, so, you know, 2 days after the election, the National Guard was activated for the first time tonight in Portland at the Antifa riot. In the past 6 months of rioting, the governor has refused to bring in the National Guard. So what we can see is that Antifa are now getting the boot that they are because they are no longer useful. And the same thing will happen to Black Lives Matter. And as reported today, in fact, by Josh, the RAZ, the Red House Autonomous Zone in Portland, has already been dismantled. So none of your radical left nonsense is going to be accepted under a Biden administration. It's not going to happen. You have served your purpose as being something that people can point at Trump with and say, look, these are somehow his problem. These are his responsibility. Even though you guys encouraged it, you fomented it, you actively tried to participate in it, in the case of Ted Wheeler, who incidentally called for law enforcement to remove the autonomous zone using any lawful means before backpedaling on this, because this is a very strong position.
Important to note, all after the election had been done.
All after the election. So as soon as, while Trump's in power, they allow this to go on. The Chaz is allowed to exist, the George Floyd autonomous zone is allowed to exist. All of the George Floyd riots and protestings and burnings, none of the police intervene. And as soon as it looks like Biden's won, right, that's it. In the bin with the lot of you. This is what you should have expected.
I mean, Portland is the most obvious here. I mean, Ted Wheeler and the state governors are also Democrats, were making sure that the National Guard couldn't get in and then refused to use state troops to assist them in putting the violence down.
Ted Wheeler actively rejected Trump's offer of National Guard because Trump is a fascist or something.
Yeah, but they have state troopers which they could bring in to deal with this.
Yeah, and they didn't.
The governors just said, no, we're just not going to send them in. Yeah. And the Department of Homeland Security was just like, we're on our own.
Yeah.
We're being attacked. Help us.
People are dying, property is being destroyed, lives are being ruined, and they allowed this to happen for political gain. And now, and we know this because now, they're clamping down with the boot. The exact same boot that they were like, oh, Trump will put us under the boot. No, it doesn't even have to get to Trump. It doesn't have to get that far. Ted Wheeler is going to put you under the boot. But
the thing. It's sort of, there's a little bit of praise in the sense that they've finally done the right thing and kicked these people to the
yes.
curb. But you allowed the violence to go on. And not only that, you promoted it. I mean, I remember there was a Democratic ad, I think it's still on the Democrats' YouTube channel if someone wants to go find it, in which there's a voiceover blaming Trump for the Portland protests,
mm-hmm.
saying this is Trump's America, and then showing all the violence.
Yep.
Like, this is nothing to do with him.
Yeah, it's
like,
your
overwhelmingly,
America.
He was trying to put it down, and you guys were the ones promoting it.
Yeah. And this is exactly what Yuri Bezmenov was saying about the useful idiots. You will be allowed, you will be encouraged until your usefulness has run out. And then you'll just be given the boot, he probably said the bullet, but like in this case, the boot. You will just be repressed. They don't care about you. They don't care about your issues. Now that they have power, you are not useful, and so you are just discarded of. That's what you get.
It's what you deserve, too. It's just, well, what they deserved is for it to happen at the start.
Yeah, what they deserved is it should have happened on day one.
Yeah.
You know, this was illegal activity that was frankly not warranted, in my opinion, and should have not been encouraged or facilitated.
Like the first IED that was thrown, or the first person getting shot.
Yeah.
Or the first building getting burnt down with people inside.
I mean, we could say the first ISIS-like action is too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, anyway.
Sorry, Portland is it.
Yeah. And the ironic thing about Portland is it's a lovely city if you go there. It's lovely. R. Dubu says, secession only leaves the children with nukes. Giving up half the US is not an option. Yes. I didn't really want to talk about the US election so quickly because, frankly, I have no idea what's going on.
I think these are leftovers from yesterday.
No, this one was from today. And it seems that a lot of people in America have no idea what's going on either. It's not that this is necessarily uncharted or, you know, unprecedented events, but with the way things are happening, I don't want to...
Just want to wait 24 hours.
I'm not going to jump in and say I have any idea because I honestly don't. But I agree, you know, I don't think you should give up half your country. I'm not your buddy guy, says serious question. Do you think the Great Reset will happen? If so, what do you think will happen? It's happening now. We're in the middle of it. And you can see the weekend podcast that myself and Hugo have done talking about it. But we're going to do another one this week talking about, well, just further information on it, because it's everywhere and they're talking about it and they think it's happening. Thank you, Lee Garrett, for the donation. Chris Cousins says, as a writer, there's a group called Women Aloud with great resources. When asking if I could access these, I was told, you're a man. Okay.
Gender-segregated texts now.
So, Chris, your response to that should have been, how dare you judge? How dare you assume my gender? Because if you turn around and just look them straight in the eye and say, no, I identify as a woman, they would probably be committing some kind of hate crime if they told you that you don't. So I think you probably still can get access to those things. And if you do, you can email them over to us at tips@loadseaters.com because we'd be interested in seeing them.
I can see he's paying in pounds, so he's British. So yes, that is true. The Equality Act does defend you there.
Yes. So you unironically can still get access to that. Deep Sixer 1970 says, long-time watcher, first-time donator, keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Not a Band Account says, PM Thatcher would have opposed COVID lockdowns. Yes, I believe she would. MuteStream says, the army of Hugo Simpson is getting stronger. Mwahaha. Damn it. The Engaged Few says, any Biden pandering about agriculture is likely because the USDA runs the food stamp and WIC Women and Children programs. Yeah, it's undoubtedly pandering. Sean Murray says, any chance future episodes on your site will be playable in the background? Thanks, Simon, you're an American hero. Well, thank you. Can they not play them in the background from the site? I've no idea. I'll have to get back to you on that. Sorry. Fencing Mitch says, people are surprised that Biden smashed Obama's 2008 vote total. Forget that historically Democrats designed it so that Obama gets 3/5 of Biden votes. Oh! Listen,
disavow.
I. It sounds bad on paper, but you've got to understand it was a compromise from the Democrats. Look, I'm supporting the Republicans. I'm supporting the anti-slavery, anti-segregation. As the Democrats say, the Republicans are the party of the N-word. And that's unironically, that was Democrat propaganda. Unironically.
Yeah, I remember.
So it's, you know, I think that they really should have an accounting for their history of racism. Jaffa on the Bound says, a lot of problems can be solved by nuking the whole. Colonel Rico, probably. Probably true. Possible Pilot Deviation says, I'm curious to hear a list of names of people you would like to interview on your podcast. Personally, I'd like to see Douglas Murray on. Care to share? Maybe in the future. Anne Frank says, got my lunch changed to 1 o'clock so I can catch the first 30 minutes live each day. Enjoyed all the podcasts so far. Save the guy sitting in chat. Cheers, gents. Thank you very much. And Bradius Birdius says, donated a minute ago and messed up the message. What a noob. Built a site as a middle finger to the government. Say no to trackandtrace.com, or .co.uk, sorry. Keep up the good work and the resistance. Thank you very much. Right. Callum.
Yes.
Let's talk about channel crossings. Illegal channel crossings.
The Chad Priti Patel. She's actually come out with finally a legal solution to this, which is that... not racist, just don't like them. So,
right, okay.
No, so she's changing the law. Well, they're proposing to change the law. So at the moment, if a asylum seeker, because I'm going to be charitable and just say that they're that, which they're not, gets into British waters or onto British soil, they can claim asylum in the UK. You can also do this from any embassy in the world, but for some reason they just have to get here first before they claim it.
Weird.
Interesting. So the government is legally obliged to take their case, house them, take care of them, and then reject or accept it. And this, of course, takes a lot of time, a lot of hotel rooms, all the rest of it. So they've decided...
You mean a lot of taxpayer money?
Yeah. And a lot of wasted time, which in politics is important. But the obvious solution to this is that you're coming from France, all of you. All of you are coming from France. None of you are coming from, a boat sailing from Syria around. It's not happening. So you are all coming from a safe country, in which case we don't need to be accepting you. And they started doing this. They were saying that we've already deported 1,000 people because they were in a safe country. We're getting rid of them. And endlessly, they'd have legal challenges against them because this wasn't actually the law. They had to argue whether or not they're allowed to do it. And they've got sick of that. So they're changing the law so that if a person... comes from a safe country, we're just going to deport them. They can claim asylum there. Not a problem.
Right, okay.
Perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Yeah.
And of course, The Guardian's outraged about this with their headline. I love the in quote brackets, safe. I mean,
it's France, not a safe country. I mean, that's a hell of a commentary on our European partners, Guardian.
Francophobic Guardian, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and yet you want us to be in a political union with this country. France is not a safe country, but you want us to have free movement with France.
Yep.
Really makes you think, Guardian.
Guardian. So I wanted to take a quote just to make this crystal clear. So, from the 1st of January, claims of asylum from a person who has travelled through or has a connection to a safe third country, including people coming from EU member states, will be treated as inadmissible.
Good.
So you will arrive and we will not allow you to apply.
Good.
Because you are taking the mickey.
Yep.
These changes will also prevent asylum seekers from being able to claim in the territorial waters of the UK. An important point because, of course, the French have just been dumping them in British waters and saying, your problem now.
Well, wasn't there a video footage of a French Navy vessel actually guiding one of these dinghies into British waters and then just turning around
so
and sailing home?
This is Nigel Farage's footage, and we must say alleged, I guess, just to be sure. Because the video evidence is video evidence, but okay.
I mean, I guess they can sue us over it and we'll have it out in court.
Yeah.
So they just it really looks like you are.
There's a dinghy, the French just, you know, shadow them, and then it's in British waters, and all of a sudden the French don't seem to care. They're not interested in staying next to the French, staying next to the vessel, and the British turn up and take the dinghy. Right. So this allegation seems to be true by the video evidence, but it's just an allegation, I guess, just to be sure. So the Guardian references a memo which the government's circulating, which is how they've written this article, and I wanted to take the quotes from the memo so we have a primary source. So the government writing here to itself, as currently drafted, they, meaning the law, allows claims to be treated as inadmissible only if the asylum applicant has accepted for readmission by a third country through which they have travelled or have a connection. So the British government would have to write to, say, France and say, hey, have they applied here? And the French would say, yes. And then we'd say, can we send them back? And then the French would say, that's perfectly fine with you. So we'd send them back. And of course, France doesn't want to do that.
Of course they don't.
So they just say, oh, I have no idea of the records. Yeah. So the British are sick of this. Yeah. So they then write, the changes separate the readmission requirement from the inadmissible decision, allowing us to treat applicants as inadmissible based solely on whether they have passed through one or more safe countries in order to come to the UK as a matter of choice, because they are choosing, which is the term asylum shopping has been used to describe this. They will allow us to pursue avenues for their removal, not only to one particular country, but to any of the third countries for which the applicant has travelled, but to any safe third country which they may agree to also receive them. So here's the funny thing, because that's sort of a bit of a reference to, we're going to pay someone to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Because you'd have to say, oh, can you take them back, and then blah, blah, blah. But if we can just pay someone to just take them, not a problem, they're gone then.
Yep.
So this is something that actually happened, documented in Douglas Murray's Strange Death of Europe, an excellent book, in which he points out that the Germans were overflowing with migrants after they invited the entire world to come and live there. And their response was, please, will anyone in the EU take them? And universally, every country in the EU said no, except Portugal. And the Portuguese were like, please, send us more. We'd love to have thousands more. And you might wonder, why? Because they got paid per person they took.
Oh, right, okay.
So thousands of migrants were sent, I assume either on coaches or planes, whichever was cheaper, to Portugal, dropped them off in Lisbon. And then the Portuguese government was like, we don't care about you. We're not going to give you the same benefits you would get in Germany or Spain.
Oh, Jesus.
And so the migrants were just like, fair enough, fine, I'll leave then. I'll go to Spain or I'll go back to Germany.
It
was an endless loop. But of course, the difficulty with Britain is it's actually much harder thanks to the channel.
Yeah.
So if we could pay Portugal or any such country to just take them, you know, one of the countries they've traveled through.
The oldest alliance in the world is still bearing fruit.
Yeah, we just send them abroad. All right, yeah. I mean, you can try again if you want, but we're just gonna pay you to go away again, and it would be a cash saver.
But that's the problem. You can't pay people like this to go away, because then other people here.
Oh, you're not paying them. You're paying the government.
Oh right, okay, that's fine.
So Portugal gets fine. £1 million to take, you know, 10,000 refugees.
That's fine.
So in the long term, this would be a cash saver as well.
Right.
So that's my understanding of what the proposal is, which is funny, and it's an interesting solution. But it's not as based as Priti Patel's previous solution, and I imagine some people might be disappointed to hear that this is not what ended up going through. So this is from the Guardian reporting from a leak. Priti Patel looked at the idea of sending asylum seekers to the South Atlantic. Specifically, she wanted to send them to the Ascension Island and St. Helena.
Yeah, St. Helena is where my grandfather came from.
So it's also where they sent Napoleon after we vanquished him from Europe to die. Which...
the second time, yeah.
So she's going to Napoleon the entire migrant population. Which is, to be honest, not entirely a terrible idea, not just because it would solve the issue of, right, you're going to stay here, we're going to process you, and then we're just going to send you home.
Yeah.
So it means you can't just run around in the UK and leave. But it's also the fact that there's not that many people living there. So,
no, but that makes it worse for them.
I know it's worse for the few hundred people
What did they... No, something like 3,000 people who live there. What did they ever do wrong?
I'm not saying it's great for the people...
Here you go. Here's a bunch of Middle Eastern migrants. Enjoy.
Yeah, what? I'm not saying it's great for the St. Helenans, but it reminds me of transportation during the British Empire, where you'd get a criminal and then your crime would be, instead of death, we'll send you to Australia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we can get the Australians to sign up...
We used to send them to the American colonies until the Americans revolted.
Yeah, which, you know, understandable.
Yeah. I don't blame you, yeah.
Anyway, so the beautiful thing of this, for anyone who doesn't know, is it's thousands of miles away from any other landmass. Yeah. So they literally couldn't run off and
no dinghies here.
Do anything bad. Yeah. So your dinghy's not going to get you anywhere. You would have to be processed.
Yeah.
And if you're a false claimant, there would be no point in crossing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're not doing that, which is it's a great shame.
That's good for the people of St. Helena.
Yeah.
I don't want to dump tens of thousands of illegal immigrants with them.
I don't know how true this was, but there was a rumor they were coming up with the idea of setting up a floating barge camp, essentially a processing facility that's floating in the sea, like I don't know,
giant floating prison.
Yeah, or like Zealand, you know, the oil rig, something like that. Which I mean, that's another way of fixing it. Just these interesting solutions.
Just sending them back to where they came from is fine.
Yeah,
you know, you were in France, that was a safe place. Go back to France.
So, you know, any complaints from The Guardian? Well, I mean, we got alternatives if you don't accept this one. So,
well, yeah.
So,
the Danish solution.
There's a story that I read today talking about these kind of people, because this isn't in the UK, this is Italy. But the kind of people who cross and then end up here are exactly the same kind of people.
Yeah.
So, you got to wonder, if you're fleeing from a safe country, what are you fleeing from? And this made me laugh, so I had to include it. Which is a guy who's fleeing persecution of the law. The law in his country has found him to be guilty, and he's fleeing that. And this is what he argued in court. So if you can get up there,
he's fleeing from his own criminal activities.
Yes, he could be. And it's not really funny. It's quite sad, actually. So he does field work. The article's Italian, and we've had to translate it, but I've got a legitimate translation, so I've made sure everything's right. He was doing field work, and you get rid of dry grass in the fields, and he decided to set fire to it to get rid of it, which is a risky way. And the fire spread, and the fire then spread to several houses, killing several people.
Oh, Jesus, so Christ.
This is criminally negligent arson.
Yes.
Okay, and this is in the Gambia as well, so it's not a country at war, it's... You know, he can't argue anything else. He just committed criminally negligent arson and killed people.
I'm being persecuted by the consequences of my own actions.
Yeah, a statement from him. At night, a strong wind began to blow and fueled the fire still present on the land, and a fire developed which spread to the surrounding houses. Some people died in this accident, others were hospitalized. So he admitted guilt. He admitted that he was the one who committed criminally negligent arson. So... he then gives a statement saying the relatives of the deceased were furious, which is understandable. And he says they intended to kill him. So, quote from him, they came to my house, they beat me and broke my tooth, he says. Then I managed to escape. Right. Not condoning the fact that they took mob justice on him, obviously. But that does not give you right to come to Italy. Like, you're just a criminal, mate. Like, you can go down the road to a new village and then go to the police station and hand yourself in.
I'm a refugee of my own bad decisions.
Yeah.
Someone save me.
And so the scandal here is he got to Italy and the judge heard all of this, and you would think the judge would be like, right, deport.
Yeah.
No, the judge gave him residency in Italy.
Sure, why not?
Mad.
Why not?
These are the kind of people fleeing persecution, so So then I wanted to get into the fact that why has it come to this? And why are we now saying, right, we're just gonna deport you in mass, and we're going to pay people to take you if we have to? Well, I want to tell you the tale of Napier Barracks. So you may have heard about this. They were putting asylum seekers, just to be charitable, in hotels up and down the country, and there was a lot of outrage about this.
Yeah, 4-star hotels.
Yep, because of the cost, the luxury, the fact that we have quite a spike in homelessness over the last few years. largely due to the Conservatives' policies on this. I've got plenty of criticism about that, but that's not the topic today.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were angry about this, so the government decided, okay, yeah, this is a bad look. It's also probably a bit wrong. So we're going to set up military barracks that are mothballed into areas we can keep these guys, and then why not? Like, if it's good enough for army guys, I don't know why it's not good enough for asylum seekers to wait out their application.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what bad they're going to do to them. So they opened up this barracks in Folkestone, which is in Kent, so it's close to the close to the channel. And then the next one is just the first migrants arriving. So, you know, it's all going well. We're going to set it up. And then the next one is the migrants protesting the conditions. They didn't like the conditions.
Oh, sorry. Are they worse than being persecuted back in your home countries?
Yeah, if you can get the next article, John.
Amazing.
You can see them with their signs there. We escaped from war to prison. I am not in the arm. I'm assuming it's meant to be army. So they were complaining that the camp is like a prison.
Which... No, this is even better, right? We are human beings, not numbers on a file. Oh, you're wrong there. That's what the administrative state is. You are a number on a file to the administrative state. This is the welcome to our hell. You know, you're right. We're not human beings. We're just numbers on a file. This is modern Britain now. You know, this is what you signed up for when you came here. I'm so sorry to tell you this.
It's also the weird absurdity of fleeing a country that's presumably at war. I mean, let's just be charitable and say they're all Syrians and they're all fleeing ISIS or something like this. Why not?
ISIS have been defeated.
Let's just ignore that, because why not? Because this was actually a couple of months ago as well.
Right,
let's be extremely charitable.
ISIS were defeated like 6 months ago.
I know, but I'm going to be
really charitable.
I'm going to be charitable to the point of absurdity, just to make out the point here, which is that you then got to Europe. Yeah. Multiple safe countries, and then you got to England via rafts that, you know, many of you have stolen, let's be honest, because we have the police reports on this.
Right.
And then you got sent to a barracks, which has housing, which has food. My understanding is they
warm,
give
warm, clean, and dry.
Credit on for phone calls. I think they get dental coverage as well.
Oh, wow, I don't. I've got to pay for my own.
Yeah, the British don't. Scottish do. But
no, the English don't.
English don't.
Yeah. The English pays for everyone else's.
The Celtic nations do. And that's not good enough. That's not enough. No sympathy. Absolutely no sympathy.
No.
And you might wonder, well, why are they out protesting? And in the article, it says that the protest was supported by local members of Stand Up to Racism, a Labour Party organisation that is, I think, last I checked, was run by Diane Abbott. She's the chairman.
Yeah.
So this is leftists getting in contact with them and setting up a protest to protest their conditions. So I don't even trust their accusations of things being wrong.
No.
So opinion disregarded. And how did this go? So if you can get the next one, a bunch of them have now left. This was yesterday. 8 asylum seekers missing from Folkestone barracks. So they were sent to this barracks. They decided, I don't like it here.
Well, if it's like a jail, it's not a very good jail then, is it?
No. I mean, one of them mentions in that video, we're not going to play it, but he says that there's a curfew. So he has to be, it's open between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. And then if you're outside, you know, during the nighttime, they won't let you in. So you have to be back before... Which makes
just
sense.
Like jail.
Like you've got to close the camp, but that's not a jail.
No.
So you're just lying. The other part here is they actually do allow them to set up new residences. So if you're in the camp, it holds 400 people, all of them men. Surprise, surprise.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the only way they're allowed to do it because of the nature of a barracks.
Right.
So all of them are men, which. So if you were one of them and you wanted to go and live somewhere else, let's say you met someone. All these lovely people that stand up to racism and they wanted to take you in. You can change your address and go live with them.
And how many have stand up to racism taken in?
I don't know. They didn't list any. Wow. So I'm...
I guess we can only assume that's zero.
Yeah.
Until
I have further information. So they didn't have to just leave, but they did. And now we have no idea where they are. They could be anywhere in the country. Great. Wonderful. Like, surely it's preferential to have these people processed.
Do we know anything about their criminal backgrounds?
Not of these ones, no. I mean, there's privacy and all sorts of things.
Yeah, so people with an indeterminate criminal background, presumably we don't really know much about them at all, have just turned up and disappeared somewhere in the country.
I mean, not the most honest people.
No.
I mean, the fact that you went through multiple safe countries and then came here and then...
fact that you came over on a raft.
Yeah. Like,
you're in a safe... Like, Jesus. You know.
This is why Priti Patel's at this point where we're just like, no, okay, we've had enough with this nonsense.
Okay.
And she's right to do it.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk about the spooky, scary far right.
Right,
because, of course, the far right are really taking this issue on.
Yes, the massive movement that comprises of like 10 people in their basements.
Yes. So the first article is from the BBC, talking about the far right fuel hate over folks in asylum seeker barracks.
But why is it so easy? Why is it so easy for the far right to fuel hate? I mean, it's just the British public being taken advantage of, their tax money, the laws being ignored, the procedures being ad hoc into existence, and then these people going disappearing, people of dubious moral character going disappearing in the country. Why is it so easy for the far right to feel this kind of hate, though?
They're just out in Kent now. We have no idea where they are. You know, if they want to commit crime...
Who's going to know?
Yeah. And this is very telling about the far right, because they do not mention who they are in this article. There is no reference to who it is or what they've done.
So it's just the far right.
Yeah. People upset about this camp being here.
Right.
Which...
Nazis.
No. It's just local people. It's just anyone who disagrees with the idea that we need to import these folks are far right. And that's the BBC saying that. They don't quote anyone. They're just themselves.
Yeah.
So the next... thing I wanted to put up here was just an example of the kind of people who are the far right.
Right.
So this is a video of protesters in Dover upset that we were taking in massive amounts of random people and saying we need a change in the law, which is perfectly reasonable. Now, to preference this, Dover has had a problem with the unironic far right neo-Nazi types years ago. Like, they used to do protests and there used to be clashes. I watched a lot of the footage of this protest from Russia Today, who cover these protests in full. I saw no fascist symbols.
Any swastikas?
No. Nope.
Any, like, well,
Celtic crosses?
Black suns, Celtic crosses, nope. Nazi salutes.
I saw a lot of British flags and English flags. In which
typical
case,
Nazis.
That's...
There's one thing a Nazi would fly, it'd be the British flag.
Yeah, they really love Britain.
Yeah.
But the treatment here was what was shocking, because at the same time, the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, and people were being...
Police were taking a knee, they were getting them to run riots, set fire to flags...
Speaking of taking a knee, so if you can listen to the start of this, you won't catch all of it, so I'm going to say it now. There's a guy who says, "Will you take a knee for the effing children of Rotherham?" at the start.
So, no, they won't.
And then
no,
watch,
they absolutely won't.
You think of the light touch with Black Lives Matter, and then we'll see what they do here.
Okay.
So we can play the video.
See that Black Lives Matter? That's your future under Joe Biden.
Being snatched up.
Yep.
Yep.
No mercy. That's what you're guessing.
But that's the thing. Like, I saw the footage. He didn't do anything wrong. They just decided.
He was just standing there.
He was an agitator, therefore he had to be taken. But the way they took him is obviously controversial.
Yeah.
You can make a million arguments, but the fact that this was not going on at the same time that Black Lives Matter protests were going on obviously made people upset. But that's the far right. That's what you're dealing with. Just randos in Dover.
They just look like patriots, working class patriots.
Yeah. And you can see the response here by the far left as you post this. It was very happy that they'd done this.
Can we go back to that, John? Sorry. The plastic ex-soldier who looked down upon by most veterans but admired by the far-right hooligans, fascists and racists of England has been arrested by police today in Dover. That seems like a fair representation. I imagine that's how he puts himself on his own Twitter bio.
Well done to the police for taking swift action against this miserable lunatic. Hashtag refugees welcome. He'd done nothing from what I can see. Like, let's just say I haven't seen something and he was inspiring the crowd to be...
Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't have to do it like that. No. And at the same time, why were you not doing this to Black Lives Matter? There was,
why is he not allowed to just protest?
Yeah.
Can he not just protest?
There was tangible violent protest. And, you know, a couple of days earlier when this footage was taken, and no one cared. The police didn't do what they needed to do. But
there we go.
Yeah, so there's one other point here, which is just to break on the point that the far right is a myth in this place at this point.
Yeah.
So the next article from Kent Live talking about the response of the far left, which is that refugee workers were planning a welcome day at Napier Barracks for asylum seekers, these ones who then went on to leave and protest and all the rest of it. And the lady mentioned in here who's running this is Bridget Chapman, the Kent Refugee Action Network. Now, I happen to know a little bit about this because I used to live in Canterbury. It's just Antifa. It's just more types of Antifa right. networks. So if we can get her tweets up, just so I don't have to make the point. This is hilarious. I don't know if everyone saw this. So Teespring had taken down all Antifa merch because they didn't want anything to do with political extremism. And they see here, Teespring is not a fascist company.
Well, I'm glad that they told us, because otherwise I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Due to recent increase of violent Antifa content, we have removed all Antifa related listings until we are able to review the intent behind your designs. Okay. Like, Teespring kicked us off, so...
Yeah.
I don't know why you're complaining.
And we're not in favour of violence at all.
No. So. And then if you can scroll down to Bridget. Won't ever use you again, Teespring. You're an absolute disgrace. You understand that Antifa is shortening for anti-fascist rights. So, you know, Antifa...
You're either a fascist or an anti-fascist. Which are you? I literally don't have a commitment to either position. You know, I'm not pro or anti either thing.
Like, I could be pro-liberalism. things to be.
Or I'm opposed to both, if you want. You know, like this weird communist obsession with fascists is not my problem, and I don't care about it at all, but nor am I a communist. So
if you can get the next one. So this is her writing to the BBC World, being upset that they're pronouncing Antifa wrong because they're blaspheming against Antifa, I guess.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then the next one, which is her... I just found this funny. So, people like me who support Corbyn must be anti-Semites.
What?
What? You know what? Miss me with your concern about prejudice. I am confident that he is a decent, kind man and a fine anti-racist. And I am confident that my own beliefs and in what I do show solidarity with others. Jog on.
Well, I agree that Corbyn's a commie.
That's not a response to anyone, by the way.
No. Yeah, no. Nobody. This person.
But I'm looking at that, like the fine, you know, being an anti-racist. It's sort of like a dog whistle. Like, yeah, it just seems like...
Well, it means communist. There's a dog whistle for communist because it's just those people who care about this sort of stuff.
That's true. It's a dog whistle for socialists, but it's the funny part there that in there it also sounds like a dog whistle for anti-Semite, which...
Well, people like me who support Corbyn must be anti-Semites.
But this is the kind of people who are setting up the pro-refugee side, and they are just a meme. Like...
Anti-Semites set up immigration.
Okay. So if you can see the middle of that, she's also put in her name do-gooder, which is just a joke.
If she didn't tell us, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, there's no way to tell.
It would look like she's actively being evil, to be honest.
These people know nothing, absolutely nothing. So if you can get the next, this is from the Morning Star, which for people who might not know, foreigners, the Morning Star is an openly socialist paper. I don't know if you can see, but at the top there it says, what is it? I can't quite read it out there, but it's for peace and socialism. So they're openly partisan.
Oh, yeah, they're a communist paper.
Which is fine. They're allowed to do that.
That's not fine. Well, they shouldn't be allowed.
Okay, liberal. Anyway, but they've published this puff piece interviewing her. And one of the things I found hilarious is she gave a statement here saying that, so they're writing, the campaigner hopes Saturday's protests will show asylum seekers the real Folkestone, which has a really proud tradition of welcoming refugees, citing an incident during the First World War when 160,000 Belgian refugees were welcomed into the town. This is a real thing. You can read about it. It's heartwarming, but you know why it's heartwarming.
Well, they were being invaded by the Nazis.
First World War.
Oh, the First World War. Yeah. Oh, being invaded by the Germans then.
What is it? 95%
by the Kaiser.
Of Belgium was occupied by the Germans, and the war was raging in France as well.
Yeah.
The first safe country they could have gone to was England.
Well, it's literally the only one in the region.
Exactly. So the people of Folkestone welcomed them because they had a legitimate reason to be there. And it wasn't all men. It was the people of Belgium, which included vast amounts of women and children.
Yeah.
So complete ignorance of history.
Yeah.
But also just some of the protesters. I watched some of the protests set up for the pro-refugee side. I just wanted to show you a screenshot.
Go on,
don't know if you can make out there her sign. You want to read that?
See that castle? A migrant built it. So is she talking about William the Conqueror?
Yes. She's saying...
She's talking about the White Castle in London, right?
No, she's talking about Dover
Castle. Oh, Dover Castle, right. But she's still talking about the Norman Conquest.
Yeah.
The Norman Conquest that killed like a third of England.
She's comparing migrants to foreign invaders.
Does she know anything about the harrying of the North?
I don't know anything about harrying
the North. There was a revolt after the Norman Conquest and William had taken the throne. There was a revolt in the north and the Normans just went up there and put it down with great bloodshed. Something like 200,000 people were killed And this is a huge... When England had like 2 million people, killing 200,000 people is massive.
Yep.
And nobody talks about it, obviously, because it's the English being the victims, so no one must care. But you can just Google it, the harrying of the North.
I will.
It's terrible.
But I mean...
But it's okay, it was a migrant. A migrant who did it. Jesus Christ.
But this is just the level of stupidity we're dealing with. I just wanted to make it clear.
Unreal. But.
Anyway, I think we should probably go on to your thing and then do the Super Chats because
okay.
of time.
Okay, okay. Right, so the last one I wanted to do is this Reuters special report that they had produced, I believe it's today, that is about hate speech laws in Venezuela are being used to target Maduro's foes, remaining foes, in fact, which should come as no great surprise, really, because obviously Maduro being deeply endorsed by a kind old gent called Jeremy Corbyn. Just all of these endorsements age really, really badly when it comes to socialists. And it always has, right? Even go back to like the Soviet Union. Stalin was the golden boy of the Western left until it turned out, actually, he's killed tens of millions of people. Yikes. Actually, we're with Trotsky, you know. Like, it's...
Like, that's any better,
yeah. But the point is, all these socialist endorsements always age really badly because it turns out that socialists are a bunch of tyrants. And there's simply just too much proof to deny it. But anyway, this is Francisco Belisario, a Venezuelan mayor and a retired general and member of the ruling Socialist Party, had enough. His loudest local critic had accused him of bungling the response to the coronavirus outbreak, among other big problems. So in August, he wrote a state prosecutor and requested an exhaustive investigation into his nemesis, Giovanni Urbaneja, a former lawmaker who had become a gadfly to the mayor and other socialist office holders. Urbaneja, Belisario wrote in a letter reviewed by Reuters, was conducting a ferocious smear campaign on Facebook and elsewhere. And you can't have ferocious smear campaigns in a one-party state. And if you're going to build a one-party state, you've got to get rid of that opposition. He defamed him and President Nicolas Maduro, the mayor wrote. He violated Venezuela's law against hate. And this, I just want to say, we were right. As always, the problem with these kinds of laws that are based on subjective criteria that can just be enforced at will is the people who are defining what hate becomes who are the people who end up tyrannizing you. The law was passed in 2017, but rarely used before this year. But it criminalizes actions that, quote, incite hatred against a person or a group. And if that person happens to be the dictator... You're in for it. You're done. You're in trouble. That's hate speech. Criticizing the dear leader is hate speech. Full circle.
But where's the lie? By their own standards, that is what is going on.
Yes, the ultimate persecuted minority. The dictator of the country. Like, come on, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but this is something you and Dankula have been saying for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I've seen people fobbing off, being like, oh yeah, how are we going to use laws that protect, you know, black people from people saying the N-word or something?
You literally have it here.
Like, now there you go. Now what?
The most powerful individual in the country is now the most oppressed minority in the country through the use of hate speech laws. It's totally backwards. But anyway, charge Urbaneja with hate crimes, the mayor implored the prosecutor. And then days later, several dozen masked officers raided Urbaneja's home and took him at gunpoint for a chat. According to the police report of his arrest and his wife, he remains jailed, awaiting formal charges and a trial. So who knows how long he's going to be in jail for? He's just stuck there now.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. I mean, at least in Britain, when Dankula was arrested, they at least took him to a police station and charged him with something. Yeah. I suppose we've got that. That's a slight...
And he was put in there with serious criminals. Like, some guy had violated his bail charges, some guy had a knife at someone, and then they took to him, and what are you in for? It's like, made a meme.
Made a joke on
the
internet.
So it's like, this guy, he'll be in there with people who have been rioting against Maduro and, you know, drug runners. Yeah. It's like, what did you do?
Murderers, all this sort of stuff. Yeah,
said he was bad at handling coronavirus.
The interesting thing about it as well is that the hate speech law is deemed unconstitutional and illegitimate by many Venezuelan scholars, legal scholars that Reuters consulted. And not only does the law violate free expression, like anyone cares about that, it was also illegally enacted, drafted and rubber stamped by a parallel legislature that Maduro had created at the time to circumvent the opposition controlled assembly. For anyone who doesn't know, this has been a long running thing going on in Venezuela. But yeah, it's exactly as they described. Maduro basically created his own legislature and was just like, to hell with you.
Those scholars sound like hate figures to me.
Oh, I think they'd probably better be careful, to be honest. I mean, they probably don't spend too much time criticizing Maduro because they don't want to oppress a minority, do they? Which is, but that's the moral basis of the idea of a hate speech law, is that a majority is going to oppress a minority. And Sam, the majority of people that I'm tyrannizing are oppressing me with all of this oppressive criticism. How dare they?
Well, you know, if 2 million people are criticizing you, it's...
That's rough. I'm just a guy with an army.
Speech is violence.
Yeah, and secret police. And the ability to arbitrarily enact whatever laws I like.
Yeah, but if speech is violence, they're engaging in violence against you. You ought to engage in violence back.
This was just an attack on the dear leader. The people understand that these dissidents need to be persecuted. Which, incidentally, is what's been happening. So Reuters say, the law has played an important role in the nationwide election this month, Maduro's opponents say, by cowing critics who had spoken out against the government in the run-up to the vote. You may remember that, obviously, Dominion voting systems have been... Smartmatic voting systems were created by Chavez and the Venezuelan government in order to rig these elections in Venezuela, which I believe I'm allowed to say about a foreign country, just not about the United States.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, isn't it weird, right? And so... Naturally, the election is widely considered a sham by the opposition. No kidding. By the opposition, human rights groups, and most Western democracies.
I don't know if you mentioned it. I think I glossed over that the 48 people.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So I think it says that I can't get the text specifically, but it was 40 people have also been charged with hate crimes. This is just Reuters looking into them.
This is an increasingly common maneuver. In a review of more than 40 recent hate speech law arrests, Reuters found that in each case, authorities had intervened against Venezuelans who had criticized Maduro or other ruling party officials.
Yeah.
So it's only being used for political reasons. And the thing is, you might say, well, okay, in a corrupt socialist country like Venezuela, maybe that's the case. But our hate speech laws are not going to be used like that. It's like, okay.
They've already been used like that.
That doesn't matter, right? The very... The very
reality is of no concern. Yeah,
it is not. If we've learned anything from socialism, it's that reality is what the problem is. We have defined the solution, and we just need to find a way of getting there. But the problem is that implicit in the very notion of a hate speech law is a partisan political bias. Because if you are a liberal and you don't believe that there can be such thing as hate speech laws, and you are now subject to hate speech laws, that is a partisan political bias against you. This is why Tim Pool was able to make such a... And it's the same thing with, like, misgendering on Twitter. When Tim Pool was on Joe Rogan's podcast, he's like, well, look, you know, you can't misgender people on Twitter. That's a partisan political issue. And it's the same with hate speech laws. Should you be able to criminalize people for the things they say in social settings? Well, probably not. Unless you're a communist and you believe that you should have a domineering administrative state that does all of this anyway.
So I did a lot of reading about censorship, and there in a liberal system, there are a lot of arguments for when censorship is valid, and it is. I mean...
Child porn, terrorist threats,
yep,
sure.
There are But the interesting thing is the argument's always based on tangible harm, whereas if the argument is based on harmony, which is what misgendering is, it's what the thing with Count Dankula was, it's what this is, it's always a political action.
We need harmony so people don't upset the equilibrium of society under the dear leader.
Hmm. But if anyone ever makes an argument, this is the problem with political correctness, it's parading as manners, is that no, if it's based on the fact that this will bring harmony to the nation or society or whatever, reject it. Reject it outright.
Yeah, because it's literally going to bring oppression. This has played an important role in this election that's considered sham. And again, like every socialist regime, in fact, every dictatorial regime always goes through the same phases. So like now you have a special secret police force that is suppressing dissent in poor neighborhoods. Many of these who used to be convicted criminals themselves, have conducted lethal raids to intimidate citizens. To appease the enfeebled security forces, police and troops are often allowed to loot, extort, and commit violent crimes. So it's basically Maduro's black shirts are being employed as a kind of, you know, oppressive police force to make sure that people don't speak out against Maduro. You know, look, we're trying to save you from the crime of hate speech, okay? To preserve harmony, we're going to loot, extort, and beat you.
I mean, they're only doing it to these obvious racists, so...
I mean, you know, that's a good point. Like, socialist phobes have been severely cracked down on in Venezuela. And, you know, who knows why they're against socialism? Must be all of the pets that they had to eat or something, you know. But targets, what I love about this as well, because Venezuela is, you know, a less developed country, it's not like the high-tech sort of social credit system where, you know, like in China where you've got like facial recognition or anything like that. No. They're tracked in the old-fashioned way by paying loyalists to rat out their neighbours. It's like traditional, good old-fashioned socialism. You know, it's the working man's socialism.
I'm getting the feeling of pottery shards off of you about
this. Yeah, exactly. You know, it could have been that we got the wrong person, but if we can pay that one of their family members to dob them in, then we know we've got the right person. See, it's guarantees.
That doesn't work. I'm just gonna lie.
Well, no,
yeah, my brother, he's a socialist phobe. You need to get him.
Maybe, but the hate legislation is proving to be an effective weapon against critics, not least because of harsh penalties for those convicted. It provides a prison term for up to 20 years, assuming you even get your trial.
Sorry, that's the hate speech.
Yeah, the hate speech law, prison terms of up to 20 years, longer than an 18-year sentence for murder convictions. If you killed the Dear Leader, you would serve less time in jail than if you criticized the Dear Leader.
But this is... I don't know if I wrote the article on this or not. But this actually matches with Britain a little bit.
I bet
because
it does.
Our hate speech codes, I don't know if we can call them hate, but if you incite hate, or, you know, like with a Charlie Hebdo cartoon, you actually get a longer prison sentence, you know, maximum sentence, than if you had done it in an Islamic country like Kuwait. Like, if you had gone to Kuwait and done the same thing, you would get a lower sentence.
I wonder, the Kuwaitis must be like, why are they more harsh against critics of Islam than we are? They must wonder, right? I think
everyone knows the answer.
Well, yes. but as Reuters found, most of these cases never even reach trial anyway, so, you know, who knows? Defendants spend indefinite periods, often months, in pre-trial detention. They receive little information about the case and the prosecutors from the prosecutors and struggle to build a defense because their lawyers are kept in the dark as well, and any releases appear to be arbitrary. So I guess things are going well in Venezuela. I'm not saying that this is going to happen here. I'm saying it's already happening here.
It's true. Take Scotland right now.
Yeah.
Trying to pass that hate speech.
Hamza Youssef and the National Socialist Party of Scotland.
Yep, they're trying to pass hate speech legislation. I think it's almost done. And they're criminalizing misgendering people. And of course, there's a lot of outcry about this. But that is a political action. He's saying, look, this causes disharmony. Trans people get upset, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, we should make it hate speech. And that is a political action because this is a political divide.
Yeah.
And it's...
The very nature of trying to question gender has become political by the radical feminists who have promoted it.
Yeah, I mean, the Conservative Party has policies on this that are with the TERFs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is part of the reason they got elected, actually, which is quite funny. They're enacting TERF politics.
The TERFs are
right
on this.
But that's the thing. If the ruling political party has a view on this that disagrees essentially with the law of Scotland... Like, how is this not a political measure? Obviously,
it's nothing
is.
But. I mean, and we can take it from the radical left themselves. The personal is political. Everything is political. Mm. So there we go.
But yeah, if anyone ever proposes hate speech laws, throw it in the trash.
Doomhan says, once the useful idiots are no longer useful, they are still idiots. That's true. This is why I don't really have very much sympathy for Black Lives Matter, to be honest. William Younger says, these revolutionaries will never realize how lucky they are that they didn't get their revolution.
Something everyone's forgotten that I feel I have to mention. The Black Lives Matter shooter in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone's forgotten about this. They did this movement before.
Yep.
And it ended with five people being shot.
Five police being shot.
Yeah.
Royal Ulster Constabulary say, British liberties matter, the only BLM I support.
Based.
Charlie the Beagle says, Carl, if only you were interested in woodworking, you could be Ron Swanson. I watch lots of woodworking videos on Facebook, actually, because they're always coming up in my Facebook feed, and it's like, oh, I'm going to make, you know, some shiny wooden thing, you know, with resin or whatever, and I'll find myself watching and be like 3 minutes in, like, why am I watching this? But more importantly, why am I enjoying it so much?
This is like second puberty or something.
Well, maybe,
like when you're getting to your age where you start to turn into, you're blooming into a...
Maybe,
into a...
but I don't know, but I'm just watching, I would like to make stuff, you know, it would be nice. David Watt says, not sure if you've covered this previously, but Black Lives Matter is an entirely grassroots communist movement with heritage going back to Eric Mann of the Weather Underground fame. Mr. Reagan has a great video on them. I don't know if I'd call them entirely grassroots. They definitely have a large amount of funding from various places like the Open Society Foundation. But there is a grassroots...
How you define grassroots, I guess.
There is a grassroots backing to it. That is true, though.
Like, I don't know if you've seen the interview with the founders. Like, they do make it... Like, it was a grassroots movement that then got astroturfed.
Absolutely, yeah. Cake Skull says, yesterday you asked what one would do with $50,000 per month in expenses. Bribes is what you do with it. Good point. If there's anything we've learned from Dong Sheng, it's that we get two stacks of money rather than just one.
So we're in a meeting we know what to ask for.
Yes. The Earl of Longford... And the thing about this, it's like the idea of bribery and things like that just seems so far out of my sort of experience of life. No one's ever offered me a bribe. Not that I'd take one, obviously. But nobody's ever offered me one. I guess not that I've ever been in a position where they needed to bribe me, I suppose.
But you're never in a position to even give one in the UK.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
It would be embarrassing. If I say, okay, well, how about if I give you 100 quid to do this? I'd be like...
It actually makes it cringe.
Yeah, are you trying to bribe me? I'm like, no, I'm not. I didn't mean to say that. That was a mistake. Anyway, you were arresting me, officer, you know?
I'll come peacefully.
Yeah, exactly. Earl of Longford says, PM Thatcher also implemented internment not interested in liberty. I'll have to check that.
Assuming he means in Northern Ireland.
Ah, right.
We really need to read up on Irish history.
My Irish history is really bad, I have to admit. I didn't realise we'd have so many Irish viewers as well.
But I'm glad you're here, though.
Yeah, I am too. Edward of Woodstock, for £50, wow, thank you, says, reminds me of street gangs of the late Republic. When violence enters politics, it marks the beginning of the end. I'm sure they're just packing them away to bring them back in 4 years' time. Perhaps something on Clodius would be apt.
He's not wrong. Four years ago, we had the Black Lives Matter movement. It ended in a mass killing, and they just popularity disappeared.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, not a great way for it to happen, but at least they disappeared.
And then the media astroturfs it up.
Everyone thought they were gone, and then all of a sudden they're back, just in time for a presidential election. They'll be back again.
He's not wrong about doing something on Clodius either. Clodius was an aristocrat who, his name was Claudius, but the Roman lower classes produced it Clodius, and so he adopted that for himself. So he's kind of like an Owen Jones sort of style.
Boris, actually.
Boris, fact.
Because his real name is, what is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Boris
Alexander Defifel Johnson.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But you're right. Something on Clodius probably would be apt. I think he got killed in the end. I'd have to go back and check. MuteStream says, if I pay more money, can we get the 24/7 Hugo pod? Maybe we could set up just a live stream where it's just him at his desk so you can satisfy your desires. I don't know. Bryce Muller says, Mr. Benjamin, I found you because of Milo Stewart. You're the most influential person on my philosophy and politics. Cheers from across the pond, mate.
Milo Stewart.
I'm not sure who Milo Stewart is, but thank you, Milo, for passing us along. And thank you, Bryce. Daft Nut says, Pence should clout the votes 300 feet away and declare Trump the winner because some votes came in at 3 a.m. and not let anyone see the ballots. Just saying, how is it any less legitimate than what happened in Detroit?
You remember Milo Stewart?
Oh, right. Yes, I do. I hope that Milo Stewart is doing okay. MuteStream says, Vicky confirmed Hugo body pillows in the chat. Noice.
No, she did not.
She says she did not. Charlie the Beagle says, off topic, but thoughts on the band Muse. I think you'd be interested in some of their album themes they explore. Also, Lindy Beige interview when. Also, thanks for introducing me to History Bro. Yeah, History Bro is great. I could ask him for another interview.
Lindy Beige. You interviewed him.
I have. We talked about Hannibal, which was wonderful, frankly. I love talking about Hannibal. I certainly would like to invite him into the studio. The Engaged Few says, a bear, Carl, an otter, Callum, and a twink, Hugo, and a pretty boy, Josh, and a hag, Vicky. Oh, that's not nice. Add a bottle of poppers and an alternative dance club, and it's every Saturday night from 2005 to 2010 for me. My God.
What's an otter?
An otter?
Yeah.
It's an animal.
No, but it's what he's calling me.
I don't know.
Twink and bear have dual meanings. Oh, yeah, I guess. Like, you're the hairy big guy who's...
You better look it up.
Not sure I want to.
Who knows what it's going to reveal? Red Fox Moon, can you say Cabal prevails today, Callum?
Cabal prevails? Why? Did I mess that up before?
I have no idea. Adam.
I think I probably did. I think it was a super chat. Yeah, right. Sorry, Red Fox Moon.
Adam says, send them to Ascension Island closer to their homes. Isn't Ascension...
He's not wrong.
Well, I mean, technically.
Yeah.
Zach Redpiller, send them to China. They'll receive you. I wouldn't send anyone to China. Well, I don't hate the migrants.
I'm not even sure I'd send the Islamists to China.
No, Jesus, you know. They'll receive humane treatment as defined by the left, and on an unrelated note, organ transplant wait lists will be much shorter. Yeah, I mean, man, I've seen a lot of people simping for China recently, a lot of leftists. And I've seen, like, some of the more old-fashioned leftists, who might actually be described as Maoists, actually oppose China in some ways.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very weird.
Did you see George Galloway on trigonometry?
I did.
Did you see the part where he talks about economics?
I can't remember offhand.
Okay, so the trigonometry guys are like, so yeah. If you're so critical of capitalism, what system would you use? You're obviously a leftist. You know, who do you look to for inspiration? And he said China. And he was he was like, look, their model of growth is, you know, unparalleled anywhere else in the world.
That's not true. It's just like the transatlantic slave trade.
And there's a whole bunch of other things he said. And I
did you miss the unbelievable burn there? Like China, their model of growth is just like the transatlantic slave trade. Force people to work for you.
Yeah.
It's easy.
But they've always done that.
Yeah. And so George Galloway's in favor of it.
Okay. But this is the thing. I'd actually like to talk to George about why, because he didn't go too far into detail. But I found that astounding that he would just say that.
We can invite him on.
I'm finding that at odds with what you're saying about the old left. I feel like a lot of the left is starting to look at China with...
Well, I guess they are now. I mean, but I've only, you know, seen a few things in passing, but it was just like... But that's what I mean. A lot of the old left look at China as an economic model that we should follow. And I'm like, no thanks.
Because the Bolshevik model's dead. Eurocommunism seems to be dead. Yeah. So.
It's failed everywhere else. And the last standing country is China, because they have been doing it for decades. Ego Layer 13 says, I don't find the chance to catch you live often. A rare simp for Carl. Thanks for the good work. Well, thank you very much. I'm Not Your Buddy Guy says, do you think the American election will end like Game of Thrones Season 1 with Sean Bean, Trump trying to expose the corruption from the Lannisters, Biden, and King's Landing DC Guard to betray him? I don't want to make any predictions at all, because who knows what's going to happen. Lee Potter sent you an email regarding merch. I want to make Patriot products for you, Sensei.
Wonderful.
Yes, we will get back to you. Derna 1804 says, Britain has a dhimmi working class and a janissary middle class, topped by an upper class performing an endless kabuki play from a golden cage. It's a nation of slaves. Antifa stands for anti-facts. That's good.
I've not heard that before. That's
no,
nice.
I haven't. Anti-facts. Yeah. That's fantastic. And you know, I don't think I would describe Britain's working class as a dhimmi working class, although I would describe them as being oppressed by middle class janissaries. That's a fantastic way of describing it.
The working class are more base.
Yeah, they are. They are. JJHW says, it was the little veteran targeted by police for attack and theft of his cameras, phones, and even his beret for covering Napier and Pennally in North Wales. Yeah. I didn't hear about this.
So that was the guy we saw getting tackled. He'd been covering boats coming in and out in the surrounding area for a while.
Right, and he got taken.
And he just tackled him, took a bunch of his stuff, and then he had to deal with that, which undeserved.
Dave Miller says, Now, Carl, you don't know if Biden will never work with BLM. We just know that they are not a part of the day one patch.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's got any interest in working with them. And he's shown absolutely no interest in working with them and is actively ghosting them. And they're really unhappy about it.
But I mean, if the leftists in the party are able to gain more ground, do you think it will start buckling?
I don't think they're going to gain more ground. I think he's going to do a Keir Starmer on them.
Based.
Kneel heavily on Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeez.
Keir Starmer's been brutal about it, actually.
Yeah, we'll talk about his... I'm sure there's some people who are thinking about the LBC interview.
Yeah, oh my God. We're going to talk about that later or tomorrow or something.
But it'll have to be an exclusive off YouTube because...
It's just... We can't talk about that on YouTube. Hart Ponder says, Executive Order 13848 goes into effect on December the 18th. This is a conspiracy. It literally ordered to happen 2 years ago. He's about to nuke the election, and the Democrats walked right into it. Well, man, I tell you, I'm still hold the line, keep the faith, and I hope that's true. But I've got to be honest, the whole thing's stressing me out. This is why we didn't cover it today. JJ says, it's painful to anticipate the schadenfreude I will experience when all of these towns who welcomed hundreds of illegal immigrants with open arms and sing songs start losing their heads literally. I'm not going to be experiencing any schadenfreude. I think it's going to be a tragedy.
That's already happening. There is no schadenfreude when it happens.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
I mean, the guy on London Bridge, literally the kind of guy who worked with the guy who was beheading him.
Exactly. He was from Cambridge or something, Cambridge student.
But he worked with the organization. So he worked with an organization to help get people out of prison early. This guy got out of prison early and then went on to commit an Islamist attack.
But I looked into the people that he had killed, and they were, like, you know, well-meaning, upper-middle-class, Cambridge-educated, Oxbridge-educated students who were like, oh, I'm going to go save the migrants. I'm going to make things wonderful, and got killed by a migrant. And it's like, right.
Yeah, there's no Schadenfreude.
No, it's just a tragedy, in my opinion. Dusty says, loving the podcast, guys. Keep up the good work. Hate seeing what's happened to Europe and the UK. Skyrim is for the Nords. Well, not according to Labour MPs, Skyrim is not for the Nords, but we'll talk about that soon. And I'll be formulating a case philosophically as to why, I don't know, Pakistan is for the Pakistanis, why India is for the Indians, and China
is for the
Chinese.
You're going to say colonialism is bad?
I am actually going to denounce colonialism, because if you don't...
Stunning and brave.
If, yeah, exactly. if you don't have the opinion that Skyrim is for the Nords, like Labour, then you find yourself saying, well, what's wrong with the British Empire? That's the only argument is, well, this was our land. Pfft, no, it wasn't, you bigot. You know, how dare you do that? So, yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to agree, but yeah, carrying on. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I bring back the Empire is a new Labour slogan I didn't expect to see.
Keir Starmer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's dealt with the communists.
Oh, boy.
So, Wolfsbane says, hey, Carl, you should see the TPIRL, Temple IRL from last night. Tim said it was an interesting perspective about the history of the AR when talking about the CRT versus American essentialism. I'll have to check it out. Dirty Belt says, actually have a question this time. Is there any functional difference between socialism and communism? Really enjoy the show. Have a nice day. Just in the end state of it, really, as Vladimir Lenin said, the point of socialism is communism. Marx expected a dictatorship of the proletariat, a revolutionary dictatorship of the proletariat, that would take over, re-educate the population to never need the state again. The state would wither away and die, and we would be living in the communist paradise, post-money, post-scarcity, post-property. Obviously, this was nonsense, but every socialist is an attempt, a step along the road towards communism. Nat at Chesh Cat Studios, oh, hello. Have you guys heard about the new Channel 5 drama about Anne Boleyn? If not, may I request you to quickly Google it and see who they've cast as Anne. I'd love to see reactions live on camera. I can actually tell you it's going to be an African lady playing Anne Boleyn, because apparently it's not...
Like black British or full-on African?
I don't know. It was a black person. Black okay. lady. So,
it's a historical drama, so it makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, we have very good pictures of what Anne Boleyn looked like, but I guess
Tariq Nasheed's the director.
I guess it's more progressive if they execute a woman of color in it rather than just executing a white woman. I don't know. Representation in historical executions. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Like, I don't see why anyone would be like envying the fate of Anne Boleyn. But never mind. Red Lighting says, it's ridiculous that as an ex-Muslim, I'm still the same amount of danger in the UK than I would be as if I was in a Muslim country. Yes.
You are in a Muslim country.
Whoosh. Oof. Only if you're in a Labour-run area.
Well, only by the laws of the land.
Well, that's a good point.
That's
they're only more draconian than the laws in Kuwait.
Like so. If Kuwait has more liberal laws than the UK regarding blasphemy, what am I meant to say? Like...
Salam alaikum. but you know, it is ridiculous. But the thing is, you've got to remember that ex-Muslims aren't victims. Ex-Muslims become the oppressors, the colonizers, probably, something like that. I don't know.
Would it be right to call them survivors of Islam?
Islamophobes is the correct term, the politically correct term.
Jesus, leftist talk.
Yeah, Seol C says, surrogate Biden and President-elect Harris start calling it like we all know it is. Yeah. Brian Ullman, sorry. I either want less corruption or more opportunity to take part in it. Yeah, I know. We're always locked out of the corruption. It's terrible. Royal Ulster Constabulary. Irish history is being eternally flexed on. Oof. Oof.
Get him and the Earl of Longford to have a
yeah. Red Fox Moon. Josh as host and Hugo as co-host for a stream. I'm sure the shill bucks would flow like never before. Well, we will try it. Frog Juice the Excogitator. First Super Chat ever. Keep up the good work, guys. Is there a Discord server for Lotus Eaters members or plans for it? We haven't got one yet, but I'm not... I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet, really. President-elect Svatnik, Svatinelek? I can't pronounce your names, but thank you anyway. DRT is King says, electors both competing and faithless might let Trump be a Gracchus, which is likely how he'd like it. Trump will be elected as it takes one senator and one... Representative. I don't want to speculate. I'm not an expert and I couldn't predict. The Earl of Longford says, grip on Shelley increases. not sure what that was referring to. Jones and Man says, I'm done with dooming. I will paint my future with... No. We're not saying stuff like that because you know what YouTube's like. Grim
not
AOD...
to mention, don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, not to mention, don't do anything stupid. Grim AOD says, hashtag Team Vicky. Man, everyone's simps are out in force today.
It's a Japanese yen.
Yeah, it was as well. Lars Peter Simonson says, Keir Starmer prescribed the Corbynites. Yes, he did. And I'm sure he'll go on to prescribe many other things. Like I said, Keir Starmer actually seems to be quite the authoritarian right winger in reflection. So, you know, maybe BNP are happy with his appointment.
He's more right wing than Boris.
He is. He's absolutely more right wing than Boris.
Finally, I can agree
Boris
with Boris.
Boris hasn't prescribed the Corbynites from the Conservative Party. What's to say they won't all leave Labour and join Conservative going, well, I mean, they are pretty left-wing these days. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Jeremy Corbyn defects to Conservatives. Well, this is the party for me. Frosty says, the first nurse in the US to get the COVID vaccine was black, and the media have conveniently left out her name, referring to her as the only person of colour. Well, why should she be named?
Horrible.
Why should she be named, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't just completely denigrate into black body has been given the COVID. I hate that phrase.
It'd be first. What would it be? Because this is the thing. I was watching something earlier, which was it happened to be the Chinese yeah. Communist Party parade, and the advert I got for it was about journalism.
Just happened to be watching that for no reason at all.
I've got my reasons. And the advert was about journalism, and then it just ended with support black and brown bodied journalism by supporting us today. And I'm just like,
that's horrible.
How do these people even think?
Well, they think in purely materialistic terms.
But imagine writing that article. Imagine being the scumbag who's writing about the lady who's got the first COVID vaccine. I mean, like, she doesn't matter. What matters is she's a black body.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, the idea of a person isn't just a body, because a corpse isn't a person. You know, we don't think of corpses as people. We think of living human beings with a sort of self-awareness and sense of self. And, you know, as being people. And this is why, like, animals, we just sometimes will treat animals like people, because the animal has a lot of character. And, it, you know, we have a relationship with it. But all of this stuff is like... transcending the purely material, and it becomes, I don't want to say spiritual, but that's the closest thing I can think of to use to describe what I'm trying to say.
What,
but
a name of a person?
Yeah, but it becomes something intangible but real. And you know, so a person, it becomes in your head, in other people's heads, and in their own head. But it's more than, and this is the basis of the argument that left-wing academics have against in favor of abortion, quote, after birth. Because they'll say, well, a baby isn't what we consider to be a person, because it doesn't really have a personality of its own. It doesn't have any kind of, you know, will of its own or anything like this. And so really, that's just a you know, 5 pounds of meat, to which I say, meet me on the battlefield. As someone who's just had a baby, I will fight you over this. This is a monstrous way of trying to dehumanize people. But that's the same thing with black and brown bodies. If it's you're just a black and brown body. It's like, well, what am I, a corpse? That's how I'd describe a corpse. You know, a field of black and brown bodies after a battle, maybe. And even then, I probably wouldn't. But like, you'd be describing dead people by like that. And so that's why I hate this dehumanizing, you know, unpersoning language. But anyway, the engaged view, the only difference between fascism and communism is that nobody says real fascism has never been tried. That's one of the very fine differences. Sam Uel says, Obama repeals Smith-Mundt Act, legalizing the use of propaganda against the people. Now look where we are. Why is this fact never brought up in alt media? I've never heard of the Smith-Mundt Act.
I'm going to Google it.
So we will talk about it if we can.
Can you spell Smith?
Don't send any more, please, because we've got to move on in a minute.
Talk about Keir Starmer.
Yep. Royal Ulster Constabulary says, Earl of Longford doesn't have a licence. Cancel him. That's a good point. But conversely, you don't have a licence either. Both cancelled. Raphael Miller, check out Adv China. Two expats that lived in China tell you their experiences on the ground. It's eye-opening. The Gay Rascal says, The Great Reset is the slightly greener version of King Camp Gillette's plan. Socialism through a giant world corporation, because it's easier to put one horse before a cart than 1,000 mice. That's a great way of framing it. But yeah, it is. It is socialism by any other name. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy is the purpose of communism. They think that they're going to achieve your happiness through your lack of property ownership. And I just have to say my happiness is contingent on my property ownership. So no. And that property ownership is me, my body, It's not a black body, admittedly, so it doesn't matter as much. I get it. But it's still a body, and it's mine, goddammit. The Gay Rascal says, the Great Reset possible pilot deviation. Callum wearing a V-neck shirt is absolutely disgusting. You want simps? Get crew necks. He's right, Callum. Why aren't you wearing a proper shirt?
Because I was shopping in Reading's Primark, and this is what they had. So.
I believe they have shirts in this Primark. But anyway,
we'll go shopping later and we'll buy some shirts.
Yes. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. And we'll be back at the same time tomorrow. And we may give you an election update if we can figure out what the hell is going on. See you tomorrow.